continuation of the interview with Althea Pratt on November 1st, 1995. So you were saying there was a golf course in that space there.
Yes, and they where Ireland's, where the restaurant is, that was the clubhouse, and there was a restaurant, and then the driving course was up there, and then beyond the driving course was the rest of the golf course, and then it dropped down into the gulch on that south side, and where the railroad track goes through, there was a tunnel down under so that you played the holes up there, and then you drove your ball across to the next hole, which was across the track.
Across the track.
You had to go down through the tunnel to get to where your ball was and play the last part of the game there. And I think it was the last part of the game, I can't quite remember. And I think from there on you came back through the tunnel. I used to play it quite a lot, and I just don't remember all of the details now. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing. I would play golf there and remember on that side all of the shanty town.
So the shanty town was on the Lloyd Center side of the gulch?
Yes.
Okay, I was mm-hmm. going to ask you that, whether it sprawled the whole thing or if it was just on that side.
Not that I remember. At least the part I visited was all on this side. There may have been one on farther down on the other side, I don't know. But the one that I was exploring and learning about was that one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one other question that just falls in the category of kind of picking up a detail here that we haven't talked about. You said that your family knew the Lloyd family.
My grandfather did.
Oh, your grandfather did.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I guess
the rest of my family
this.
Did not.
So you didn't have any contact
no,
with the
no,
Lloyds either?
No, I had
either.
No contact with them.
Okay.
No, they were located down there in California, and I don't know where they lived even. No, it was my grandfather who was his friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were the ones who bought up the property, and were going to build the hotel. Which they gave up, and of course, by the time Lloyd's, whoever, children, grandchildren, whoever, ended up doing the development over there, my grandfather had been long gone. It was in the 50s.
That's right. Yeah.
That it was built.
Right.
Yeah, my grandfather died in the 30s.
Yeah. Did you meet Ralph Friedman as a result of his historical interest in this house? Was that
yes.
the connection?
Yes. In fact, before I knew him, I was mad at him.
Okay.
Because he had written about this house. He had never come to visit me to find out the information firsthand. He had taken it from several other sources. They were calling it Meadowbrook instead of Willowbrook, which came from a DAR woman, Mrs. Lipshot, who came here and interviewed me for a newspaper article and got the whole thing garbled up. She called it Meadowbrook instead of Willowbrook, which is what the pioneer people called it. And it's on the record in the county courthouse down at Hillsboro. And also she had big cedar trees as beams in the living room. She had been in the living room. I had told her there were cedar beams, in fact showed her, holding up the house underneath.
But not in the living room. Yeah.
No.
I don't see any cedar
no.
beams.
So she had all kinds of things wrong in it. He had taken her article without coming here, and he had at least the Meadowbrook, I don't remember what all, and he had it in the Oregon for the Curious.
Right, in the first edition of that
yes,
work.
Yes, in the first edition. And so he came here right in the middle of the summer arts program one day, and I was teaching a bunch of little kids out here. I was doing some music with them, and he came and started wandering around and looking at things, which is fine. We had visitors all the time. And then when I stopped and turned the kids over to somebody else, and I asked him what he wanted, and then he told me who he was. And I said, "Oh, you're the man who wrote those things all wrong in Oregon for the Curious." And he said, "I did." And I said, "Yes, it would have been better if you'd come out and talk to me." Well, he said, "Now I am here." Well, I said, "I'd like you to correct those things." I don't think he ever did. Well, he certainly couldn't in that edition.
Right.
But I don't think he did in any of the others. I think he just continued to run it the way it was.
Anyway. Well, he wrote a second volume, I guess. May have had the same title. I can't remember. But there's
no, it wasn't Oregon for the Curious. I have them all over there. And he came here not too long before he died. But there was another thing about him that you never could really tell whether he was serious or not, because he told you the darndest things. He would call me up and he would say, "I'm going to have a heart attack. If I have a heart attack in the night, I'm going to call you and you're going to come out here and get me and take me to the hospital." He lived out on 57th off of Sandy. I said, "Ralph, I'm not coming over to your house. I'm not going to pick you up and take you to the hospital. You have neighbors. They take care of you. You have friends over there within a block or so of you. No, you have to come and get me." And he didn't have a heart attack. And one day he called me and he was talking to me and he said, "I have AIDS." I said, "Come on, Ralph." But he would say the darndest things. And so when he came that last time, I said something about, "Well, I understand that you've been ill." "No, I'm not ill." And he would never tell me that the cancer, he had had prostate cancer, he had told me that, and that it was all better, because he had told me Phoebe had cancer of the throat and that's how she died and how horrible it was. And he said, "And I've had cancer." And so then all these times he would tell me all these crazy things, and then to be dying and not tell me.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Your friendship with him grew out of that first meeting then?
Yes.
When he came out here, and I guess you got to know him a lot better after that.
Well, he came all the time.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times he would bring people. He'd say, "Well, I told them they had to meet you."
Uh-huh.
And he would just pop in. He never called ahead. And I'd say, "Ralph, will you please call me ahead of time?" "Oh, yes, I will." But he never did.
But he never did. Just pop
in. No, he'd just pop in.
Did you ever have to turn him away because he just arrived at completely the wrong time?
Whoever had the heart to do that? He was so funny. And he'd have a friend with him and he'd say, "Well, I just told them they had to see you." And so he'd say, "We can come in and have tea." So you had him in and you had tea. No matter whether you were out in your dungarees, out there digging in the yard or not,
uh-huh.
You came in and you had tea.
Well, that's a great little footnote here to the history that I didn't expect you to talk about at all.
All part of the education of Althea Pratt Broom. People like him. Oh, there were other people along the way, but you learn from everybody. Michael O'Rourke.
Yes, I'm sure. I know that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think now might be a good time to call it a day, and we'll continue for at least a few more times here and get your whole story. But thank you very much for the
interview. You are a very patient man. That's all I can say.